Well, here we are, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Christmas is nearly on top of us, and if you have a tendency to procrastinate like I do, you just don't worry about it until Wednesday, right? Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, and today I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 1. I'm actually going to begin with verse 26 and read down through 38 of Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from the first chapter of Luke. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary answered the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for the opportunity once again to gather together as a community of faith in this place to worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far. And we pray that your Spirit would continue to work among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts so that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that your words might dig deeply within our hearts, that we might find your words transforming. And all this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray together, saying, Amen. During some of the fighting that was going on in Europe in World War II, in a little town in Belgium, they had a statue of Jesus. And the statue of Jesus had Jesus with his hands extending out. And somehow during the fighting and the bombing and all the terrible things that were happening, Jesus' hands got blown off of the statue. And you know, I think about those desperate times and how it must have been for those people in Europe as World War II raged, as well as it raged around the world. And sometimes I wonder how it is that we find hope in troubled and stressful times. Where does our hope come from? Indeed, I titled the sermon today, "Dashing Towards Hope." There might be some words besides hope that we could put dashing towards as we thought about the world that we live in. But indeed, our world is not so different from the world in which Mary and Joseph lived. It was a troubled world. The Israel that they knew was not a free in Israel. It was not the golden age of Israel, but it was Israel that was occupied by Roman armies. It was a time of terror, a time of uncertainty, a time when no one knew how God and when God was going to act, but they all were waiting for God to do something. And sometimes it seems like in the world that we live in, we're waiting for God to do something as well, aren't we? We're waiting for God to act, for God to do something. And there's probably no more unlikely candidate to have God work through you than Mary, who was probably a teenager when the angel Gabriel came to visit her and told her some startling news that she didn't really know how to take. You're going to have a child, and that child is going to be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, it's going to overshadow you, and you will carry the Messiah. You know, it's hard for us, I think, sometimes to imagine in our culture what an unplanned, unwanted pregnancy was like in the first century. The culture was really a culture of honor and shame. And one of the worst things you could do in that culture is to bring shame on yourself, which also brought shame on your family, on your people, and even brought shame to God. So it gives me a little pause to stop and think about what Mary must have been going through to have thought about what the angel was telling her, to really think it through. What would she tell Joseph? What would she tell her parents? What would people think? What would people say? Yet in the midst of all of this, even as she expressed her fears, as you heard related by the writer of the Gospel of Luke, Mary heard what the angel had to say and is able to say at the end of what the angel says, "Let it be with me just as you have said. I will be the Lord's servant. I will do this thing that you've asked me to do. I'm happy to serve God." In a sense, what she really said was, "Okay, God, let's go. Okay, God, let's go." And I wonder, because I imagine that she barely knew what the child she was to carry, the child she was to nurse, the child she was to raise. I imagine that Mary scarcely knew what this child was going to mean to the world. And she even probably thought less that this child was going to be the bringer of hope to a dark, violent world. And it's all because Mary was willing to say, "Okay, God, I'll do it." Because you see, most of us, when God comes to us and God asks us to do something, most of us are like, "Are you kidding me? You can't be serious. You want me to do what?" And then, of course, when you start to realize that maybe God is talking to you and you start to tell your family and friends, what did they say? "Are you kidding me? God said what? God said what?" But you know, it occurs to me on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, if there is hope that is going to come into our world, it is going to come when you and I finally say to God, "It's okay." When we finally say to God, "Yes, I will do what you're asking me to do." When we say to God, "Yes, I will be a person who helps bring hope into a dark world." Now, when we say yes to God, it doesn't always mean that we can see very far down the road. It doesn't always mean that we know what exactly is in front of us. But what a great spirit that Mary brings to be able to say to God at this point, "I will be the Lord's servant. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'll serve you in whatever way, Lord, that you need me to serve." It's fascinating, isn't it, when you think about it? When you think that Mary was going to carry the child of God, the Messiah, the one who was going to change things permanently, the one who was going to bring hope, not just for those in that time, but for those in every time. And all Mary really had to do was to say yes. Was to say yes. Yes, God, I'll do it. Yes, God, you can use me. Yes, God, even though I don't understand it, even though I am fearful, even though I am not at all sure about this, I trust you enough, God, that as if this is what you have for me, this is what I will do. And brothers and sisters, what I really, really believe is that God is waiting. He's waiting for you and for me to say, it's okay. I'll do it. I'll let you use me. And sometimes we say, well, God couldn't use me. It's very unlikely that God could use me. Well, I don't know if you've got any familiarity with this book or not. This book we call the Bible. But it seems to me like it is the story of unlikely people being used by God from cover to cover. Amen. It is the story from cover to cover. And it seems like God always is much more interested in our availability than our ability. He's always more interested in our willingness to be used than whatever gifts, talents, skills, abilities we may or may not believe that we have. And that's why, brothers and sisters, this story of the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary that she is going to carry Jesus, that she is going to bring the person that is going to bring salvation and hope to the world, it's why it's so important to us to hear. Because we too need to be people who are willing to say okay, who are willing to say yes. One morning after the bombing, after the fighting, and the townspeople went out to look at the statue of Jesus that now didn't have any hands, somebody had hung a sign around Jesus' neck. And the sign said this: Jesus has no hands now except for yours. Except for yours. Jesus has no hands now except for yours. And brothers and sisters, I believe if hope is going to come to our fragmented, broken, dark world, the place that we live in, it will come in when we adopt the spirit that Mary had and say, yes, Lord, let it be with me just as you say. I'll be your hands. I'll be the one to go out and do what needs to be done. I'll be the one, Lord, to say, okay. I'll be the one to say, let it be with me just as you want it. Let me serve you in any way, shape, form, fashion that I can, because today, Lord, just like Mary, I'm saying yes. Yes. Indeed, brothers and sisters, I believe that it's the only way that hope is going to come into our world through Jesus Christ. It is when you and I decide that we are going to be the hands and the feet, the eyes and the ears, the mouthpiece of Jesus wherever we go. And we're going to bring the message of hope, the message of unconditional love, the message of reconciliation, the message of peace, the message of joy. It will be through you and I that hope comes to the world. So may today be the day that you and I no longer say, God, I'm too unlikely. you really ought to find somebody else. God, this is a little too much. I don't think I can do this. But may you and I learn from the story of the teenage girl in an occupied land, likely living in poverty, likely not with a whole lot to look forward to, a whole lot of hope, who was willing to say yes when the angel came and said, God needs you. God needs you. And I believe that the Lord is saying to us today, I need you and you and you and you and you to be my hands and my feet, to be the bringers of hope, to be the sharers of the good news, to remember that Christmas is much more than what our culture has made of it, but it is indeed the message of hope. It's the message of good news. It is the message that needs to be brought by each one of us if hope is going to come dashing into our world. So may today be the day that you and I say to the Lord, okay, what do you need? Where are we going? What do we need to do? I'm with you, Lord. Let's go. Amen. Amen.